All right, take your Bibles, turn to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. Are you holy? That's the question. Be ye holy, for I am holy. That's the command of the Bible and the New Testament, the Old Testament, both. The word holy means to be separated, pure. It's a lifestyle. It's decisions that we make. And so we started the series. Oh, I haven't preached here on the afternoon for about a month, I think. It's been so many different things going on, different scheduling. And so it's been a while since we kind of talked about this idea of be holy. Through salvation, we are made free from the power of sin. So we have a choice now to live a different lifestyle, a different life, a holy life, a separated life, a pure life, a life that is pleasing to God. And during the formative years of the early church, so way back 2,000 years ago, as the church was forming and finding its way, when men like Paul and Peter and James were leaders of the church, these men, under the power of the Holy Spirit, wrote letters to churches and individuals, right? And so we know that. That's part of what we have in the New Testament of our Bible, these letters written to churches or individuals that explained life as a believer in Christ under these new circumstances. So he's explaining to these folks the nuances, the ins and outs of being a born-again believer in Jesus Christ. So many of these letters contain sections about being holy or separate. So that's what we're kind of doing in this series, is jumping through these letters and looking at different sections and what these men, under God's inspiration, told the early believers to do in order to be holy. So, same thing is true. 2025, 2,000 years later, you want to be holy? Here's what the Bible says about being holy. We all, if I said to you, picture somebody that's holy, define for me holiness. You may have different ideas. We'd have different opinions. And really, to be honest with you, your opinion doesn't matter, neither does mine. What does God's opinion matter? What did the New Testament tell us about being holy or separated? And so I hope that we'll do that as we go through these series. Today in the book of Ephesians, written to the church of Ephesus. The book of Ephesians is written, divided into two real big basic parts, all right? The first three chapters are doctrinal or teaching. The last three chapters, 4, 5, and 6, are very practical. Here's what you need to know, and here's how it should change your life, all right? And so we're going to pick up right in the middle there on how it should change our life. What does it look like when you know, like we know some verses from Ephesians chapter 2, don't you? For by grace are you saved through faith. It's not of yourselves, it's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So, and it talks about the great transformation in Ephesians chapter 2, and it's really talking about this great transformation and then the founding, the mystery of the church and how Jew and Gentile won't matter anymore, and how he explains all that. And then he says, now, let me tell you how that should affect your life. How should you live your life tomorrow based on the fact that you are saved by grace through faith? And so that's what he's talking about. Very practical, very helpful, something we should be able to take with us today. So in this practical section, Paul's dealing with the lifestyle or the characteristics of someone who's saved, someone who is a Christian, someone who's born again. He uses the word, a simple little word, walk. He uses it over and over again. Let me show you as we begin. Chapter 4, verse 1. This is not where we'll be. This is kind of just giving you the flavor of where we're at. Chapter 4, verse 1, he says, this is the dividing line between the teaching, the doctrinal, first three chapters, and chapter 4 begins practical. I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called. Walking is talking about your lifestyle, your how you live your life. Walk worthy. There's a worthy lifestyle, an appropriate lifestyle for someone who's saved. If you're saved, there are some things that you could do that would be unappropriate, and there's some things that would be appropriate. He's explained to us, what does it mean to live as an appropriate, a worthy, walking worthy? None of us are worthy of salvation. Let me be very clear. You can't be good enough to earn your way to heaven. It's by grace through faith, chapter 2, right? But now that we are saved, let's live a life that's worthy of this high calling, this vocation, this calling of being part of God's family, God's church. So walk worthy. Look down at chapter 5, verse 2. And walk in love, as Christ also hath loved us, hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling Savior. So walk worthy, chapter 4, verse 1. Walk how? In love. By this shall all men know that you're my disciples, if ye love one another. So how do you walk? You walk worthy. You walk in love. This is your lifestyle. This is what we're trying to work on. Chapter 5, verse 8. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. How should we walk? Walk as children of light. I walk different in the light than I do in the darkness. When I'm in the darkness, I stumble around, I fall, I feel, I try to figure things out. When you turn the light on, I know what I'm doing. I can see what's going on. And God's saying, the light's come on for you, so walk that way. Live like the light bulb is on, the lights are on, and somebody's home, and you need to walk worthy and walk in love and walk in light. Look at chapter 5, verse 15. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. The word circumspectly means with diligence. So walk with wisdom, all right? So he's talking about how you should walk. How should you live? Well, you walk worthy, you walk in love, you walk in light, and you walk in wisdom, all right? Here's how the walk of the Christian, the practical life of a Christian. But there's one more walk that I skipped on purpose. We're going to go back to chapter 4, verse number 17. This is what we're going to pick up today, the beginning of our study. We're going to take 2 weeks to study this passage, just so I don't keep you too long, all right? So chapter 4, verse 17 says this. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind. All right? So he's saying, you should be different. You should walk, you should live, you should talk, you should decide different than other Gentiles. He's writing primarily to a Gentile church. And for those who don't know, a Gentile is simply, at that time, somebody who wasn't a Jew. Either you're a Jew or you're everybody else. Well, I'm not a Jew, so I'd be a Gentile, all right? And so that's anybody else. But the idea was, in their culture, in Ephesus, they grew up not knowing about one true almighty God, not worshiping that God. And so the whole culture was built around multiple gods, and this is how they grew up. And he said, all the other Gentiles are still following that way, but I'm telling you, you should walk differently. That's holiness, purity, walking different. Let me skip down to verse 24. This is going to be the end of our section we're going to study today. And that you put on the new man. We're going to talk about that mostly next week. Which after God is created in righteousness and true what? Holiness. He said, I'm going to explain to you true holiness. Here's what you may have an idea in your mind that if you don't do this and you don't do that, you're holy. Scrap that. Get that out of your mind. All right? We're going to try to, today, especially today, I'm trying to change our mindset about holiness. That's my goal. Because I think we get this idea. I grew up in church, so. And I'll talk about this later. I grew up in church. I was sheltered from. Went to a Christian school. I was sheltered from a lot of things. That doesn't make me holy, right? Just because I've never done that or I've never done that doesn't make me holy. Doesn't make you holy. So we're going to try to redefine our thoughts on holiness. Let's pray and ask the Lord to help us as we dig into this. Lord, thank you for the time. Thank you for the word of God. May it be powerful to us and open to us. May I explain it clearly. And may it challenge us to rethink this idea of being holy, for you're holy. God, you are our motivation. I'm thankful I don't need to attain to a list of rules or measure up to somebody else's standard. But I'm thankful that my holiness is built upon my relationship with you. I want to be holy for you're holy. Help us to understand this mindset today. In your name we pray. Amen. So next week we're going to divide this into two, but the first part is a call to renewal. That's today. So if you have an outline, that's the first blank, a call to renewal. That's the first 7-8 verses here of this passage. It says in verse 17, you know, don't walk like the other Gentiles are walking. How are they walking? And he's going to describe the walk of the Gentiles. So what does it mean when he says, don't walk like a Gentile? What does he mean? Like, if I said that, like, stop walking like a Gentile. That means nothing to us, right? Walk like an Egyptian. That's an old song, right? So, I mean, we understand those things, right? But what does it mean to walk like a Gentile? He's going to tell you. How are they walking? They're walking, number one, in the vanity of their mind. In the vanity of their mind. Their mind is vain. The word means depraved. It's void. It's empty. There's something missing. It's not a. They all were in that condition not too long ago. It's not a slam that they have a depraved mind. This is the culture they were brought up in. This is normal. This is natural. You know how normal and how natural it is to be depraved in our society? That's the culture we have, right? We used to say we had a Christian nation. We don't longer have a Christian nation. It's a secular nation. That's the mindset. It's a secular mindset. That's what we grow up in. So their mind is depraved. Verse 18 says, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. So this is what the walk of the Gentile. They have a vanity of their mind. They have their understanding darkened, like it's darkness. They don't know any better. Their understanding of life and reality and eternity is darkened, right? It says this, they're alienated from the life of God through ignorance. They don't know real life. You know real life. If you're here today and know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you know what real life is all about. It's not about what happens between the time I'm born and the time I die. There's way more about life than what happens here. That's real life. And because I have an eternal life perspective, I make different decisions today. I'm banking on an eternity. So these people, he's saying, you guys know real life. The people, the Gentiles, don't walk with them. They don't know what real life is really about. Right? They're alienated. They're separated from real life. The word alienated just to be separated from another world. They don't understand the world to come, right? Ignorance. Ignorance just means a lack of knowledge. Doesn't mean that you're stupid. It just means that you don't know something. I am ignorant of a lot of things. There's a lot of things I know zero about. You can't know everything about everything. Some of you think you do, but you don't know everything about everything. And so you can't know. Ignorance is just means there's a piece of the puzzle missing that you don't know. You ever heard that saying, you don't know what you don't know? Well, this is what's happening. There are thousands, if not millions, probably thousands, hundreds of thousands of people in Ephesus living their life like they've been raised to live their life, worshiping false gods and going through their motions. And he says to this group of people, but you're different. You're not ignorant anymore. Someone told you that there's a God who loves you and a Savior who died for you, and you've accepted that, and so things have got to be different. And so the mindset here is based upon knowledge. So that's your first blank. Holiness is based on knowledge, not ignorance. Holiness is based on knowledge, not ignorance. Let me explain what I mean by that. I am very ignorant of a lot of things that this world has to offer because I was raised in a Christian home. I've never tasted alcohol, never. I don't, other than NyQuil, all right? That's the only alcohol I've ever tasted, all right? I have never tasted alcohol because that's how I was raised. And then when I got old enough, I made a decision that I will not drink alcohol. Because I've never tasted alcohol, guess what? I've never been drunk. I don't know what it's like to be drunk. I've never been high. I don't know what it's like to be high. I don't want to be high. I'm ignorant of a lot of things. I don't know what it's like in this world of dating and going to bars and looking. I had no idea what that was like. I met my wife at a church activity, roller skating. Woo, baby. All right? Wild times at Bible Baptist, right? And so I don't understand that. I'm ignorant of those things. But I do know a real relationship with Jesus Christ. I was taught that. When I was a young boy, I was taught that God is real, Jesus is real, I can love him, I can serve him, I can live my life for him. You don't need anything else to satisfy that emptiness. So I have a knowledge that surpasses my ignorance. Does that make sense? I have a confidence in heaven and eternity that drives me, that molds me, that makes me. Listen, teenager, young people, kids, listen closely. Turn your ears on for a minute. Don't let anyone ever tell you that you're missing out on something if you're ignorant of the world. Don't listen to that. Holiness is not based, you're not missing out on anything. You can be ignorant of those things all your life, and you will miss out on nothing because you have the knowledge of Jesus Christ. And if you think that this world has something to offer you, There are people in this room that can speak from experience. They tasted all those things and they'll say, it's empty. I speak from the other side. I never tasted it. I don't miss out. Listen to both of us. But more importantly, listen to the Bible. The Bible's saying, like, to these, don't, he's saying to you, Christians, listen, you know Jesus? You know Jesus? You know Jesus? Then listen, you're different. Have a different mindset. All the other Gentiles don't have, they're alienated from this real life that you have. They're just ignorant. They don't know any better. You know better. So you're going to live a different lifestyle. Your lifestyle is going to be based upon a knowledge of God. Don't be driven by the, like, what if I miss out on the fun of that? Don't let ignorance drive you. Let knowledge drive you. That's what I'm trying to say. Like, knowing God. If you learn to have a real relationship with God when you're a teenager, I'll tell you what, you'll never, ever, ever long for those things again. Jesus is better than all that, right? And so I say to you today, based upon the Word of God, it's not based, they're the ones that are ignorant of something very important. Those who don't know Christ are missing on a real peace, real joy, real hope, real. He says here at the end, righteousness and true holiness. Throw away your little list of what you think is holy, and let's talk about true holiness. It starts with a mindset. It's about a knowledge of God. You're not missing out on anything. You can choose to live a holy life because you know there's something far better, and you're not missing out on anything the world has to offer. Elsewhere in the Bible it says, I would that you be wise concerning good, simple concerning evil. You don't need to know. You don't need to know. And so teenager, a young adult, as you hit those ages and you think, you know, everybody else is doing this, all the other, can I use the word Gentiles, all the other people in our culture are doing these things. What am I missing out? What if I miss out on something? Can you talk yourself out of that and say, I'm not missing out on anything. I have Jesus Christ. And I know there's an eternity, and I have real joy and real peace and real. It's real, and you don't need to go the false way. So I hope you understand that concept that's based upon knowledge, not ignorance. And it's because of the blindness of their heart, verse 18. The word blindness means they're hardened or they're calloused. They haven't yet seen the light. They're hardened to those things. Verse 19, still describing these Gentiles, this culture. Again, and not every person who's not a Christian has all these traits. I'm not saying that if you don't know Jesus Christ, this is the culture that he's talking about, the Gentile culture that he's being writing to. Verse 19, who being past feeling, that has the idea of they're apathetic. They're like, whatever. You do your thing, I'll do my thing, whatever. They're past feeling. No big deal. I'm glad you found what you got wanted and you got what you need with Jesus, but you know, I'm just kind of content where I'm at, apathetic. They're past feeling. They've given themselves over unto lasciviousness. The word give themselves over, it means the word like surrender. We sing a song, I surrender all. Well, they've surrendered themselves. They've just given in to do lasciviousness, work all in holiness with greediness. And that just has the idea of filth, impurity, and greed. Greed drives our society. Impurity drives our society. So, I mean, probably the culture is very different than it was back in Ephesus in some ways. Like, there's not temples to Greek gods all around our... But the idea of it is that they live in ignorance of Jesus Christ, and so they found his other things to fill the gap. And he's saying, but you're different. So you have knowledge. So your holiness, your difference, your purity, your separated life should be based on the fact that you have a relationship with God, and don't worry about what you're ignorant of. Worry about what you know, okay? Verse 20, he says, but you have not so learned Christ. Christ is different. Christ is a whole different ballgame. You haven't learned that from Christ, that lifestyle. I had a pastor friend one time, and he was disciplining his kids years ago, and the one boy said a bad word. All right, I don't know what word it is. I wouldn't say it if I did. But it's a bad word. I don't think it was a bad word. It's a Christian bad word, right? It's like, you know, we don't say it in our house. And the dad said, well, I don't know where he learned that word. And the mom said, well, he didn't learn it from me, insinuating that he probably learned it from the dad. And so I don't know who we didn't learn this lifestyle. He's saying, you didn't learn this from Jesus. This lifestyle, you didn't learn it from Jesus. A lifestyle of running after this thing and that thing and trying to fill your emptiness and your void through, you know, partying or this scene or trying that or alcohol. You didn't learn that from Jesus. This is how you learn Jesus. You have not learned that from him. You have not so learned Christ. We have a new understanding of life. And so your second blank, if you have outline, I think, I messed up on this. It's a double knot in there. We need to take the double knot out. Holiness is based on freedom, not restriction. Holiness is based on, so the first knot, cross it off. That's my bad. Right here in my notes, I have holiness is not based on, so I messed up. Holiness is based on freedom, not restrictions. See, holiness can often look like a list of do's and don'ts. Don't do this. Don't do that. Don't do this. Don't do that. Holiness is often seen as this list of do's, and mainly, honestly, if we're talking about holiness, is don'ts. Oh, you're holy because you don't. We're holy. We don't. Nothing wrong with that. There are some things you shouldn't do. But that can feel very heavy or restrictive when we look at it as just things we can't do. So in Christ, there's a freedom over sin. And so holiness is based upon freedom, not restriction. So don't look at holiness as like, oh, man, I really want to do this and I can't do this. Oh, I got to be holy. No, you get to be holy, right? You have a relationship with God. He set you free. Jesus has set you free. He's forgiven your sins, so you have eternity in heaven. Now sin has no power over you today. You can have victory today over your sin. This is biblical. It's throughout the Bible. We can have victory over sin through Jesus Christ. And so it's based on freedom. We got to change our mindset a little bit here about holiness and not. This is what we've learned from Christ. We haven't learned restriction from Christ. He says, take my yoke. It's easy. Take my yoke on you. It's easy. And my commandments are not grievous, the Bible says. Like, these are not heavy. It's not meant to be a heaviness. It's meant to be, I get to live a holy life before God because of my relationship with him. In Christ, we have freedom and power over sin. We get to live this new life in Christ. Verse 21, if so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man. Now we're going to talk about that next week, the putting off and the putting on of the old man, put off the old man, put on the new man. Very practical things next week about how this, but we got to change our mindset. Conversation of the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts. So put off. There'll be some things to put off. There are some things that you got to look at your life and say, no, I should not do that anymore. I will not do that. By God's grace, with God's help, I don't want to do that anymore. I know it's been my habit. I know it's been my the way I've brought up. It's been my culture, whatever it is. But I choose to live in freedom over that, and I am going to put off some things. You're going to tell us some things in the next few verses as we get there. Verse 23, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. It's a call to renewal. The word renew means to renovate. How many of you have ever renovated a house? How many of you would never want to do it again? Right, okay, you understand? It's a lot of work. It's a lot of work. You got to rip out the old and put in the new. And he said, in your mind, you've been in a Gentile mindset all your life. That's the culture you were raised in, but now it's time to change your mentality. And so rip out the old thoughts, put in new thoughts. It's a renewal. And I like the way the Bible words this in our Bible. And be renewed in the spirit of your mind. The spirit, the attitude of your mind. You got to change your attitude about holiness and change your attitude and your spirit about living for God. And you're not missing out on anything. You get to live for God and changing your whole spirit and attitude. Renew, renovate, change the way you think. Verse 24, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. We already read that verse. One last thing, and I'm going to close with this. Holiness is defined by what you do, not just what you don't do. We can make a list and say, I'm holy because I don't. But it's just as important to say, I want to be holy, so I will. when I was little, and this, maybe you heard this, maybe you haven't. When I was young, we had this saying, I don't smoke, I don't chew, and I don't go with girls that do. I don't know where I heard that from, but that, I remember that from a teenager. And I'll be honest with you, I don't smoke, I don't chew, and Jackie just gave up tobacco last week, so we're good. No, just teasing. I mean, it's a stupid little saying. I don't know where I heard it from, it wasn't like my mantra for life. It wasn't that. I don't have a tattoo that says that, nothing like that. Okay, all right, so it's not that important to me. But the idea of this is sometimes I think in our mentality, holiness is always, always, always a list of things I don't do. I'm holy. I'm holier than you because I don't and you do. We would never say it out loud, but we're trying to renovate the thought process. And so holiness is not a list of don'ts. It's when you give up something, and so that's what we're going to talk about next week. It's a call to renewal, change your thinking, but then it's a call to replacement. You always give up something to take on something else. So sometimes Baptists, we're known for our don'ts. I had a conversation with a guy not too long ago. It said something, but made that statement. Oh, you're a Baptist. You don't. I was known, and he's right. I don't. I think he said, you're a Baptist, you don't drink alcohol. I said, well, I don't drink alcohol, but that's not because I'm a Baptist, right? But there's a list. We used to be known like Baptists don't drink and Baptists don't dance. That was kind of like, again, I don't want to be known by what we don't. And this is what the point of the Bible is, and holiness is not just don'ts, it's about do's. Although there are some don'ts, right? Holiness does, there are some things we should put off, and put on, and put on, and put on. And sometimes we focus too much on the put-offs and not focus enough on the put-ons. And that's what we're going to try to do here because we think it's biblical. There's more to holiness than that. The next section is a call to replacement. We're going to take this call to renewal, change our mindset about holiness, and then we're going to put into practice, put off some things and put on some things that will be more like Jesus Christ. A renewed or renovated mind leads to a new life, a holy life. Stop thinking like a Gentile. Stop thinking like someone in the culture that you were raised in. Stop walking or living like the other Gentiles is what Paul's saying. And I'm excited to get to the next section next Sunday about what some things we can take off and put on and take off and put on. Very practical. But right now, I want you to change your mindset and say, I want to have a holy life that's based on a relationship with God. I have a freedom to have victory over sin. I'm not only going to be known for what I don't do. I beg God that I'm known for what I do. That guy loves people. That guy is kind. That guy is helpful. Not that that guy doesn't do this or doesn't do that, right? So let's talk and think about holiness a little different this week. And when we come back next week, we're going to dig into the next few verses about what that looks like as we live it out in our everyday life. Let's pray together. Lord, we're thankful for the Word of God. It's powerful. And Lord, I pray that as we look at ourselves, not anybody else, that we would renovate our mind now, renew our thought process in this idea of holiness, and live a life in this wonderful relationship with you. But that would change our actions and how we walk. Help us to walk worthy. Help us to walk in love. Help us to walk in the light. Help us to walk in wisdom. And help us walk differently than our culture. Thank you for the challenge of your word today. In your name we pray. Amen.